Workman, Mabel White, Loma Linda, California, October 30th, 1907. Mrs. Mabel Workman, my dear granddaughter, I have just read a letter that you wrote to your father and will now begin a letter to you. Sunday, October 20th, the hospital building at the St. Helena Sanitarium was dedicated. A large number of persons were present at the exercises, which were held in the open air. A stand was prepared near the building, and seats were placed on the verandas. These seats were all occupied, and many people were seated on the hillside. Your grandmother's name was on the program, and after the opening exercises, she spoke for about 20 minutes. I will endeavor to have sent to you a report of her talk. Your father followed with appropriate remarks, and he in turn was followed by other speakers. As soon as I had finished speaking, I returned home. I am thankful that this hospital has been erected, and that there is no debt upon it. You doubtless know where it is located, near the house that I had built. It is a convenient and well-arranged building. I wish to say to you and your husband that I cannot advise you to take up the study of foreign languages with the idea of going to foreign countries where your health would be imperiled. There is abundance of work in this country for which you may fit yourselves. There are many large cities to be worked, and in these large centers of population, there is need of sanctified workers who can open the scriptures to those that are in the darkness of error. Among these cities are such places as New Orleans, Memphis, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. I should advise that you keep to the simple lines of study. I know of the condition of your dear mother before your birth, and I know also of your own physical difficulties. When your dear mother was dying, she especially committed you to my care. I am anxious that you should have every advantage possible to preserve your health. You appear to have most excellent health, but your eyes will not bear taxation. There are advantages that you may obtain where you are, but not by exhaustive brain labor or wearisome study of books. You have a special fitness for such work as that of a matron, not in a large institution, but in one of moderate size. I do not wish to discourage you or your husband, but I do desire that you shall make such calculations that you may be happy in preparing for the line of work for which you are best fitted. I desire that your life may be just as useful as possible, but you are not to imperil your health. Your brain must be dealt with tenderly. The less it is taxed with hard work, the less danger will there be of the development of certain physical tendencies. Your mother had great capabilities. She was a general in planning, and I ever appreciated her. She was a devoted Christian, and we did hope that she might live to care for the work in connection with her husband. Dear, precious soul, she was ever quick to discern what should be done and prompt to perform. I feel impressed to write you this warning, not to tax your mind too severely with studies. Take your case to the great physician who never makes a mistake. My prayer to God is that he may preserve you and keep you by his power and fit you for a life of usefulness. I should feel tenfold more anxiety concerning you than I now do, if you had not a husband in whom I have confidence as one who will reason from cause to effect. May the Lord bless and strengthen him by his grace, and give him great wisdom. Under the blessing of the Holy Spirit, he may exert a saving influence over many souls. The thoughts of the mind may be expressed in words by pen or by voice. The power of God may be bound up in these words. The lips may be sanctified to do great good. But let us put our trust always in God. While he was clothed with human nature, Christ had such a firm conviction that he was doing the will of his Father that he could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 14, verse 6, 13, 14. Blessed be God. If we plead the name of Jesus, it will prove all-powerful to save. It is this magic name that dispels our darkness and gives us light in the Lord. His words are all light. It cheers our hearts in the darkest seasons of our pilgrimage. We may have peace with God. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans 8, verse 26. My dear children, let us increase in confidence and trust. Let us be cheerful and hopeful.
Last Sunday night, we were on the cars, and I was unable to sleep well. The next night, we spent at Loma Linda. I had a good bed, but was wakeful, and had but a short period of rest. At the early morning meeting on Tuesday, I spoke to the people. After breakfast, I rode out for an hour. Tuesday afternoon, I met with the stockholders of the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. Their council meeting was held in the bowling alley. In coming out, we had to pass through the assembly room, where there was a large audience. Brother Burden asked me to stay, as they were speaking of the work of higher education that should be carried on in medical lines, but I thought it best not to do this. After I had climbed up the long flight of stairs to my room on the third floor, which was the third time for that day, I found an article that I had written about a year ago, in reference to the establishment of a school of the highest order, in which the students would not be taught to use drugs in the treatment of the sick. With this, I went downstairs again and returned to the meeting. Elder Burden was reading some extracts from letters that I had written about the schoolwork. When he had finished, I read the article I had with me, which was right to the point. It spoke of the school that should be operated here at Loma Linda. Here there are wonderful advantages for a school. The farm, the orchard, the pasture land, the large buildings, the ample grounds, the beauty, all are a great blessing. If all will now take hold intelligently of the work that should be done here, there will be success. For some weeks before this meeting, I had been feeling very poorly. But the Lord has greatly blessed me here, and for this I am very thankful. The Lord has imparted to me strength as the occasion has demanded. Thursday morning, Sarah came to my room and told me it was time to go to the early meeting. I had been writing since 3 o'clock. I attended the meeting and spoke for about 3/4 of an hour, and then there was a testimony meeting. I could not hear what was said, but I was told that it was an interesting meeting. In all my talks, I have tried to present Christ as our wisdom, our sanctification, and our righteousness. We are encompassed with the weakness of humanity, and we shall encounter the enemy in various forms. There is need of much prayer, that the enemy may not obtain the advantage. We must get out of and above all discouragement and not permit our work to be hindered by backsets. A cold formality will freeze the zeal which we should have and take away our courage to pray or to look up in times of perplexity. We need an infallible guide. For this, the Comforter is promised, that Spirit that searcheth all things. Our faith must be enlarged. Prevailing faith will reveal our connection with God. May the Lord bless you and your husband. I am so thankful that you are happy in your married life. May the Lord greatly bless you as you seek to qualify yourselves for future usefulness. When you are prepared to take up work, the Lord will indicate to you the field where you should labor. Today, Sabbath, I spoke in the forenoon to a company of patients, helpers, and physicians from the first chapter of 2 Peter. Those who have attended this convention consider that it has been an excellent meeting. I must close now with much love.